Think Again with Borderlands Cooperative.
Join us for critical conversations about things that matter.
Every Friday at 10 a.m. on 3CR Community Radio. 855 AM on your dial.
And on 3CR Digital and streaming live at 3cr.org.au.
So together, let's think again about important matters affecting us, like economics,
politics,
education,
health,
climate,
and what we can do about it all. Welcome to our 299th episode of Think Again, a program produced by Borderlands Cooperative, an organization working for social change for more than a quarter of a century. I am Jacques Boulet.
And I'm Jennifer Burrell.
We're broadcasting live from the 3CR studio on the land of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. Today, we're talking about the latest war Australia has to have an opinion about and potentially get involved in somehow. We have often argued in Think Again that our understanding of the global conflicts Australia gets involved in, whether directly or indirectly, neglects the multi-layered complexity of the historical, political and economic context in which they occur. In the recent conflicts in Ukraine and Gaza, Israel, we had ample opportunity to see that complexity at work, and we've tried to offer elements of a better understanding across the layers of global political struggles for dominance.
Yeah, as well as the local forces at work in each case.
Indeed, yeah. And our major concern was always to do with the possibility of peace and with the fate of the local populations in mind and their possibilities to live and maintain as much as possible a self-determined well-being.
Mm. In addition, there's always a unipolar Make America Great Again dominance of the US, a common denominator really driving the eruptions of war in both Ukraine and Gaza, bringing the troubles to our doorstep. We have the complicity of our governments, with Australia's bipartisan assumption by both major parties that we always have to agree with our powerful ally.
Or our friend in the parlance of our Prime Minister.
Yes, always agreeing with our big friend for reasons that are never really explicitly discussed. Or maybe it's just we've watched too many American movies.
That's right. Rather, we see justifications of whatever that great ally of ours does, camouflaged into descriptions like Israel's right to defend itself.
And how ridiculous is that? And getting more transparently ridiculous every day.
Yeah, that's right. Most recently, with Israel and Iran attacking each other, we had the US attacking three nuclear facilities in Iran, ostensibly because Iran was on the verge of building a nuclear weapon.
Yeah, so which the US's own security advisers say wasn't true. So it really does have shades of the lie to justify the US invasion of Iraq in 2003, if we remember saying it had weapons of mass destruction, later confirmed to be untrue.
That's right. And the recent attacks on Iran have been justified by the premise that Iran should not have atomic bombs, with the US pulling out of the conversations which were going to lead to a solution for that in his first, rule.
And I guess we say, or the premise Iran should not have atomic bombs is based on a strange premise that, well, first of all, the idea is it wouldn't be safe in safe and responsible hands. Like those of the US and Israel.
That's right.
So I'm saying that sarcastically. And of course, we'd argue no one should own or develop nuclear weapons anyway, and there are really no safe hands.
That's correct.
Putting responsibility aside.
Absolutely. Yeah. But we do feel the need to somehow join the North Atlantic Treaty Organization.
Yeah.
North Atlantic treaty organization, and NATO.
And Jacques, when you say we, you don't mean you and I, you mean
that's right.
Australia,
which is really, we need to join it across two oceans and several continents separating us from that North Atlantic Ocean. And the need to feel happy that Trump is not going to abandon both the NATO and us.
Because he really cares about us, Jacques.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so let's now go to try and have a better attempt to understand all of that schmozzle.
Yeah. I ended last week's program saying ever since the Zionist Netanyahu, I called it the Zionist Netanyahu tail, has been wagging the U.S. dog, scandalously aided and abetted by an assortment of Western and NATO associates, including our own country, we have been trying to second-guess what Trump may have in mind. We found some confirmation of that statement on Mary Guidry's Substack, as she stated, and I quote her, "The United States once led the world. Now it lurches behind Israel's shadow, like some punch-drunk barroom bouncer, throwing billion-dollar tantrums that leave its allies uneasy, its adversaries emboldened, and its citizens staring down another quagmire they never voted for."
Another quagmire they never voted for. And we know that lots of Trump supporters want peace. They want to pull the US out of existing conflict zones and definitely not become embroiled in new conflicts or escalations of existing ones.
That's right. Last week I reminded listeners that the US posture with its 800 military bases across the world, with its military-industrial complex economy and with its Make America Great Again gullibility represents an unpredictable and dangerous ally for Australia. An ally is in quotation marks. Mostly interested in putting America first.
Yeah, not us.
That's right. And as Amy Ramikas reminded us, with Trump putting himself first.
Mm.
So let's listen to Bernie Sanders, the former Democratic and now independent Vermont U.S. Senator, in his Common Dreams newsletter, and I quote, "The U.S. Constitution is crystal clear. There can be no offensive use of military force against Iran or any other country without an explicit authorization from Congress. No such authorization exists, and any U.S. involvement would therefore be illegal," end of quote. So that takes care of both the democratic pretenses often used to declare the Western ideological and political supremacy over all the rest. Mm-hmm. And referring to Israel's tail wagging the U.S. dog, Bernie Sanders adds, and I quote him again, "The United States has already provided hundreds of billions of dollars to Israel over the decades. Last year alone, listen to this, U.S. taxpayers provided more than $22 billion in military aid to Israel."
Yeah, and remember, Trump's been going around the world complaining about having to pay for the military of other countries.
That's right. All while we have people in this country sleeping out on the street. That's back to Sanders.
Sorry.
All while we have people in this country sleeping out on the street, unable to afford healthcare or other basic necessities. End of quote. Mm. And let's not forget, Sanders is a U.S. Jewish politician speaking.
Yeah. And backing this up, we had Donald Rothwell. He said in The Guardian on the 22nd of June, and this is worth quoting too, "America's bombing of Iranian nuclear facilities has no legitimacy under international law and carries significant implications for Australia. This is especially the case given how an Israeli-American-Iranian conflict could escalate. Australia's long-standing military alliance with the United States and the delicate current state of the Australian-US relations under the Trump presidency, including anxiety over AUKUS," unquote. So Rothwell reminds us, and hopefully Albanese and the Labor government are listening, that, quote, Labor governments have a proud history of supporting the UN Charter.
Mm-hmm.
The Albanese government consistently references its support for international law and international institutions. The US strikes on Iran require a firm Australian response supporting the rules-based international order. Any US request for military support arising from these incidents should be declined, unquote, and because they're illegal under international law.
Mm-hmm.
And that's from Donald Rothwell, who's a professor of international law at the Australian National University. So the US is now openly a rogue state in relation to international law. How far rogue does it have to go, I'd ask, before we call it a day and unhook our wagon? And I guess that's a rhetorical question.
Indeed, but Albo again was rather quick to justify the whole affair because of the threat Iran poses.
To us, apparently.
The duplicity of whatever it is that this government says about international politics is astounding.
Mm.
After Trump's rather ridiculous declarations of victory over Iran and his insistence that the 12 days war is now over.
Yeah, referring to Israel's so-called 12-day war with Iran.
It is unlikely that the US would make a request for military support, even if the nuclear aspirations of Iran may not be as abolished as Trump and his affirming political bystanders want us and his followers to believe.
Yeah, and while Netanyahu may have been temporarily held back, especially with Trump's eruption of anger when Israel was on the cusp of dishonouring a ceasefire agreement with Iran.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
And he did famously use the F word. Netanyahu may well revert to Israel's supposed right to defend itself when he needs to save his own political skin. And he has a lot of history of doing that.
That's right. And we are quite certain that the Albanese Wong Miles trio are not holding their collective breath.
Yeah. Meaning?
Well, because they have their prepared and much repeated answers, like Israel self-defense and no proliferation of nukes in Iran. That's what they always say.
Mm-hmm.
Elsewhere, you know, like in Israel, that's, of course, okay to have nuclear weapons.
Mm.
So we, just to have that sink in a bit, we now listen to Live Free by Maïssa Doe.
but don't use your freedom as a cover up for evil.
You're listening to Think Again on 3CR Community Radio on 855 AM on your dial and streaming live at 3cr.org.au. We began talking about the last war Australia is supposed to have an opinion and a stance about. So let's have a closer and more historically informed look at Israel's decision to bomb Iran with the tacit and financial military support of the Trump administration. Looking back at what's been happening in the so-called Middle East, which really should be called West Asia, is the result of a post- and neo-colonial process, which we have been talking about in several of our programs about the Gaza conflict, more particularly. Whilst we can really go any deeper into this here at this half hour we have today, it had mostly to do with the collective West's attempts at maintaining control and power over the abundant resources in that region. Oil, of course, in particular, over passageways for shipping and geopolitical control against two other presumed aspirants for world hegemony, the totalitarian states, so-called, of Russia and China. Now both transitioned, of course, from state communism to forms of state capitalism. Much of what has happened over the last 30 or so years in the culmination is the culmination of a plan brought to the public's attention back in 2003 during Bush the Younger's presidency, W. Bush. During a discussion with Amy Goodman on her Democracy Now! Program, General Wesley Clark, who was the former chief of staff of the U.S. Armed Forces, revealed the Pentagon's imperial plan for West Asia, or Middle East, if you want to hang on to that notion. Clark revealed that one Pentagon operative responding to his question whether the U.S. was still going to war with Iraq responded, "I just got this down from upstairs," meaning the Secretary of Defense's office. "This is a memo that describes how we're going to take out seven countries in 5 years, starting with Iraq, and then Syria, Lebanon, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, and finishing off Iran." End of that quote in that conversation. Clark had asked whether this was classified information, and the Pentagon operative's response was, "Yes, sir." To which Clark responded, "Well, then don't show it to me." Seeing him again later, he asked that operative whether he remembered it, and the answer was, "Sir, I didn't show you that memo. I didn't show it to you."
And as you say, Jacques, that was back in 2003. And whether that story and the planning that it describes, and whether that's true or not, or apocryphal, we've seen devastating wars in all of those countries. And just to name them again, Iraq, Syria, Lebanon, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, and Iran, overall with millions of deaths, more millions of wounded, billions if not trillions of damage and devastation, and all attempts at bringing in more so-called democratic governance systems, whether genuine or not, they've all ended up negatively.
That's correct. And in all of these wars and interventions, Australia has been either a willing and confirming bystander or agreed to get directly involved with either boots on the ground or weapons or supportive hard and software. In fact, Australia therewith continues a sorry historical continuum from the Boer Wars in the late 1800s all the way to Vietnam and the Southeast Asian Wars in the 1970s. And there will be no letting go, it seems. Going back to the welcome back reception Trump received at the NATO meeting in Den Haag this week, or Gravenhagen.
Or Haag.
Yes, right. Trump, being there, got what he wanted. His NATO allies relieved that the seemingly uncommitted to the military alliance fundamental principle of collective defense, he was still there. Trump suggested that we had a great victory here, and combining the military with his trade purposes and strategies, adding that he hoped that the additional funds would be spent on military hardware made in the US. And as Spain's prime minister had earlier declared that it could meet its NATO commitments while spending much less than the now seemingly obligatory target of 5% of GDP.
Which Trump was demanding.
That's correct. Trump suggested, and I quote him here, "You know, Spain are doing very well, and that economy could be blown right out of the water when something bad happens." Adding that Spain would get a tougher trade deal from the US than other European Union countries. Remember, he calls it the art of the deal.
And of course, we could be looking at the way of Spain too.
That's correct.
That, yeah. Anyway, so NATO endorsed the higher defence spending goal in response to Trump and the Europeans' fears of the presumably growing threat from Russia following the 2022 invasion of Ukraine.
And that's right. Yes, as we know, up to 5%. And the other decision from the NATO meeting was, and I quote, "We reaffirm our ironclad commitment to collective defence as enshrined in Article 5 of the Washington Treaty, that an attack on one is an attack on all." To which Trump commented, "I stand with it. That's why I'm here. If I didn't stand with it, I wouldn't be here." Mm-hmm. And we are left with the question as to who is really the attacking one here. For those of us who saw bits of Trump's presidential address following his B-2 bombing of Iran's nuclear facilities, he concluded singling out God. And I quote, "And in particular, God, I want to just say, we love you, God, and we love our great military. Protect them." End of quote.
End of Trump's quote.
It does look as if Trump thereby wants to suggest that his Christian God is the American secret weapon in this war, which could also be looked at as a war between the three monotheisms, Jewry, Christianity and Islam.
Yeah, but as to the Catholic version of Christianity, Pope Leo's message from his Sunday address may be the most devastating condemnation of all, linking Trump's recent strikes on Iran directly to Israel's ongoing assault on Gaza. And Pope Leo called it a cynical diversion from atrocities unfolding in Gaza. And he said, quote, "War does not solve problems, it amplifies them," unquote.
So Catholic Albanese, having attended Pope Leo's inauguration, will hopefully have some afterthoughts if he really hopes that it is important to negotiate and stop the killing. Even if Trump remarks that he and his military are instruments of divine intervention, may be typical of his overreach and highly provocative to theocratic Muslim Iran, and interestingly, of course, also to Zionist Israel.
Yeah.
This war is about political and economic interest. Suggesting it is some sort of Christian versus Islam crusade and about whose God is the greatest will do nothing for dialogue and peace. It will only further alienate, inflame and divide.
Yeah, even if I guess Trump's also playing to his U.S. base, who are Christian fundamentalists part of his base.
That's right. To conclude, as always, the layers of complexity of this issue require much more than just a quick half hour. We haven't talked at all about Iran itself, and the fact that the regime in that country has continued to be harsh and devastating for many people. There has been and continues to be a widespread resistance to the Arabic-infused Islamic theocratic regime, so much so that there was hope by some groups in Iran that the Israeli and US attacks may assist in the collapse of that regime. We'll have an interview in the next few weeks with an Iranian migrant to explore that reality a little bit more. And we also need to have a more detailed look at Iran's history, including its 1,400 years long resistance to Arabic-led Islam, and including the interventions of the Western powers because of its oil wealth, its control over the transport channels between the Indian Ocean and the Mediterranean Sea, and its geopolitical position between the other global powers, Russia and China, as I said before, especially since Iran has also become a member of the emerging BRICS multipolar challenge.
And to BRICS composed of?
Brazil, Russia,
India,
China, and South Africa. They are a multipolar challenge to the unipolar aspirations of the US and the associated West.
So stay tuned.
What's taking place in Palestine is horrendous.
Here are some ways that you can keep yourself informed and involved.
Listen in to Palestine Remembered every Saturday morning at 9:30 a.m. or listen to the podcast. Join the APAN mailing list at apan.org.au for updates, news about actions you can get involved in, and where you can donate to provide humanitarian assistance.
Listen to other news and current affairs programs on 3CR that also cover Palestine.
The oppression of the Palestinian people has been going on for 75 years. It has to stop. You can be part of making that happen by staying informed and active.
APAN is a proud supporter of 3CR.
And just my weekly reminder that we are planning to do a conference about community development in mid-October, 16, 17 and 18. And if you want more information about that, just give us a ring or send us an email. Thank you to our listeners for tuning in to Think Again on 3CR Community Radio today and many other days.
And for everyone who donated to support our program and 3CR.
And if we have not mentioned you last week, sorry for that. We will correct that if we get the information. If you want to send us any other comments about today's program, email Borderlands, borders@borderlands.org.au. Our past programs are available by podcast on a variety of platforms and via the 3CR website at 3cr.org.au.
Meanwhile, to finish our program, please enjoy Milky Mana by King Stingray.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.